Hello, welcome back to the Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. So it's November 8th, 2023. And yesterday on my Instagram page, I announced that I will be launching my own Coach Enya platform in January 2024. So what is it? So it's basically similar to an app. You'd be able to download it to your phone because I have one-on-one clients. I have a challenge that I run where I take on a number of girls and have those clients. And then I will have platform clients. So with one-on-one and the challenges, they get a check-in with me. Okay, so they hear from me each week and I contact them. I look at the stuff they filled in on their check-in sheet and I give them feedback personally. Okay, but with the platform, you won't get a one-on-one check-in. Okay, so what is this for? Who is this for? So it's for people who are on a budget but still want to avail of my services, all right? So there still will be accountability. So for example, you will get a personalized training plan and a nutrition plan, like a food plan for you, okay? So it's very individual based. So for example, your goal might be to build muscle. Your goal might be to drop body fat. You might be only be able to work out 3 days, 4 days or 5 days, okay? That's all available, all right? I have thought of it all. There are programs. I have created programs for people who have those goals, okay? Who may be limited to working out and, you know, they might only have an hour to work out, etc. Like, you might want to work out at home. There will be a workout created for that too, okay? And then, you know, if you have an injury, you can swap out an exercise. Maybe you can't do a squat one week, you know, so to avoid further injury, you can swap out the exercise, something that's not going to affect you, and you can still be consistent with your workout. The program that you get, there might be an exercise in it where your gym doesn't have that machine. You can swap it out as well. So there's so many different alternatives. Like, it's a really, really handy platform. And then you can track your progress in the gym too on the app. You can track your weight. You can upload your pictures, your before and after pictures. And then when it comes to food, so you can decide how many meals you want today. You will be given a meal plan based on the foods you like. You'll be given a shopping list and meals will be generated on the foods, etc. If you have dietary requirements, if you have allergies, if you have dislikes, there will be a meal plan generated based on all of that. And then you'll be given a shopping list as well. And they're really basic meals. Like, they're not like Gordon Ramsay style where like you're hanging around your kitchen for like an hour, etc. They're really, really basic and they're really, really handy. And it's helping you achieve your macros and your calories. So, you know, you will also get them as well. So your calories and your macros. And yeah, it's just a really, really handy platform for people who may not want the one-on-one feedback or the challenge feedback, but they still want to be accountable. And, you know, I think being able to track your progress and see your progress is an element of accountability, because if you can't see it, you can't measure it, all right? And not only is it going to offer you those two things, though, a training plan and a food plan, but it's also going to be offering you many other features. So like, I'm going to have a yoga teacher who's going to be doing a yoga class once a week, which is, you know, great for recovery, whether you're in a fat loss phase, maintaining, building muscle, etc. It really is great for the mind and body. Many other features, there'll be an education hub. Obviously, you have access to the podcast too. Like, my current clients will have access to this too. Even if they have a food and training plan from me personally, they will still have access to these features as well. Like, so yeah, it's more like going to be an education hub, to be honest. You will have access to that. When you pay a monthly fee to use it, you will have access to so much. It'd be like a fountain of knowledge, okay? And I would obviously keep adding to it as the months go on and create more value to clients. So if you want to sign up, you can go to the link in my bio on my Coach Enya page, my Instagram page, and you can sign up and you can hear about what date I'm going to launch it, and also if I'll be running any special offers. So if you are on the mailing list, you might receive a special offer or a discount, who knows. I do know the actual date it's going to launch, but the goalposts could move because sometimes there'll be technical difficulties, so I don't want to actually reveal the actual launch date yet, but it will be January, fingers crossed. Okay, so anyway, moving on, that was just a cheeky plug. So this episode, I want to talk, before I actually move on to that subject, I want to talk about something else, but this episode will be predominantly about when I did a photo shoot, what I've learned from it, my experience, etc., doing one, would I do one again, etc. But before I jump into that, I just want to kind of draw attention to the fact that it is the 8th of November. The evenings approach a lot quicker. It's dark for most of the day. It's miserable. It's the days are just short in general because, you know, it's winter and it's not a great time of year to really boost your mood. It's not. And I think sunlight plays a massive part in that. And because we lack sunlight anyway as a country, you know, I live in Ireland. If you're from Ireland, you know what I'm talking about. It rains for most of the year. We get little sunlight anyway as it is. And then throw winter on top of that when the days are very short and it gets dark an awful lot earlier. People can suffer from seasonal affective disorder, which is primarily people just getting a, I suppose their mood is affected by the fact that the days are shorter, it's miserable out, the weather's not great, lack of sunlight. Sunlight is so important, lads, and I just want to kind of focus a few minutes on this particular subject, okay? Vitamin D is so important. It really is. And you can take vitamin D supplements, and I would advise that to anyone who lives in a country where they lack sunlight. Like, I don't know anyone who lives in Spain and, you know, suffers with low mood, because if I lived in Spain, even when we have a really great summer, I just find that everybody is in such a great mood in Ireland when it's sunny out all the time. Even if it's cold out, if it's sunny out all day, I just find my mood anyway is just boosted. It really is, times 100, as opposed to if you wake up and it's cloudy out. It really has such an impact on your mood. So what I would suggest is when you wake up in the morning, try get in front of the sunlight as soon as possible. So, you know, 15 minutes after waking. If you get up in the morning and it's still dark out, I would say try even turn on the lights in your bedroom or the kitchen or the living area, and it will help keep you awake, I suppose. Well, not keep you awake, but wake you up more and create that alertness. So that's a function of actual light as well. But sunlight, I would preferably prefer sunlight. And I'm going to tell you why. The benefits of sunlight, like, not only will it help produce melatonin. So melatonin is what makes you feel sleepy. And you're like, well, what's the point? I've just woken up. Why would I want to feel sleepy? It's not that it produces melatonin immediately to make you feel sleepy, but it will promote healthy production of melatonin later in the day when it's time to go asleep. So if you're someone who wears sunglasses all day long, I'm guilty of this sometimes because I wear sunglasses a lot when I drive. Like, I hate in the winter time, the sun is lower in the sky and the glare of the sun, like, can really affect my vision. But try go out in the morning time if you can. Stand in front of direct sunlight if you have a glass of water. Brilliant, you know, water is always great to have first thing in the morning. Let your body know that you're awake, and obviously direct sunlight as well. Like, don't stare into the sun where you're going to, like, burn the retinas off yourself. But sunlight is so important, and it just helps with mood. It really does. It helps reduce anxiety. It helps produce serotonin, okay? So the opposite of melatonin, what works in tandem with it is serotonin. Serotonin is responsible for making you feel happy. So I think it's really important as an Irish person and, you know, someone who lives in a country where there's such a lack of sunlight in the winter time, especially, it's so important to get direct sunlight in the morning because it really will impact your mood throughout the day. And let's say you don't have access to sunlight first thing in the morning. Even if you have a lunch break in work, you work in an office, you go in when it's dark out. Try even go for a walk around the block if you can. If it's nice out and the sun is splitting the stones, it's obviously still very cold, but sunlight just does wonders for the mood. Like, I know when I'm stressed, if I go out first thing in the morning and I get direct sunlight and I go on a walk, I just feel amazing. It sets me up for the day. It really does. I don't know what it does, but it just does something. And I'm definitely, you know, positive that it's producing some serotonin somewhere, because it's just like a free tablet. It's like a free happy tablet. That's what it is. And it's free. It's sunlight. And make the most of it, because we don't get a lot of it in this country. But it really does. It really does help with that. And obviously vitamin D is so important as well. We get that directly from the sun. We can take it in a supplement form too. People who, you know, live in countries where there's very little sunlight. So for example, the North and South Pole, they would lack sunlight for nearly half of the year. So they would, like, probably, you know, have vitamin D deficiencies. They would have to stock up on the vitamin D supplements. But yeah, I would just, if you are someone who you think suffers from seasonal affective disorder, you know, your mood is impacted in the winter months, definitely start your day with some sunlight and try not have coffee or caffeine for the first until about an hour and a half, 90 minutes after you wake up, because it will actually affect melatonin production, and it can start to affect it. What happens is how you feel sleepy throughout the day is this chemical called adenosine builds up throughout the day, right? So people who have naps in the middle of the day, you're taking from that adenosine pill. So when you actually go to bed at night, you haven't built up enough to feel tired enough. So that's why people struggle to sleep if they drink a lot of caffeine. So what you do is you actually, I suppose, you don't inhibit adenosine production the longer if you prolong your caffeine intake. So yeah, I would recommend try not to drink caffeine first thing in the morning. Wait till about 90 minutes because we want all those natural chemicals to be released and not influenced or inhibited in any way. So yeah, to summarize, wake up, first thing, direct sunlight, pint of water, helps your metabolism, you feel awake, makes your mood better, and produces serotonin, reduces anxiety. And if you can walk first thing in the morning in direct sunlight, well then, happy days. Not only are you getting your steps in, but you're getting your dose of vitamin D as well, okay? So anyway, moving on to my photo shoot experience. So I was working with my coach. I started working with my coach in March 2022. So I wanted to do a photo shoot starting off, okay, because I've seen a lot of other people doing photo shoots and I was like, oh my god, I'd love to do that, not just for the photographs and to feel sexy, right? Okay, that might be somebody's why, but it wasn't mine. It was part of it, but it wasn't like my actual why, like, you know, why I pushed for it so much. But I had seen so many other people do. I was, you know, I had my coaching page at the time, so I was following a lot of people who were taking part in photo shoots, and it was kind of spurring me on. I was like, oh, you know, I could do that. But after talking to a lot of people, I was getting like mixed feedback, you know, oh, try this first before you do a photo shoot. Oh, I wouldn't do one. I know someone had a really bad rebound. So a rebound is someone who, you know, has done a photo shoot. They've been very restrictive, and a photo shoot is very restrictive. It's not for the faint-hearted. It's not like a normal diet where there's balance and there's like flexibility and stuff. Like, it's very, very rigid. And sometimes people don't recover well from that in terms of like their mentality with food. So they could finish the photo shoot and be like, oh, happy days, it's over now. I'm just going to eat rings around myself because I've spent 4 months having to like really, really restrict myself and my diet. And, you know, when you start going down that slippery slope, you can start to build a really bad relationship with food. But I was so glad that I spoke to so many people and got so many opinions, because I was very conscious then going into a photo shoot. Okay, I know what to expect afterwards, and to like really take care of myself and, you know, confide in my coach, because a lot of people just ditch their coach after they do a photo shoot. But I think that's probably the most important time that you need a coach to get you, you know, through a proper reverse diet. So a reverse diet is slowly coming out of the diet, not just like going back up to 3,000 calories straight away after you've only been on about 1,400, 1,500, and then, you know, going back to like zero movement. So for example, I started with my coach and I said, you know, I'm going to do a lifestyle transformation first before I jump into a photo shoot. Now, I never mentioned a photo shoot or anything to my coach when I signed up with him. I didn't like how I looked anymore. I was looking in the mirror and I was like, I don't think I've ever looked this out of shape. And like, I was a PT at the time. I was working in the gym while COVID had hit. So I was on and off working in the gym. And I just, I'm not ashamed to say, but I think I did put on the COVID stone, because we were sitting at home a lot. All we could do was walk around. We were only allowed to walk. You know, the gyms were closed for months at a time, then opened, then closed again. I tried to pick up running. I'm not a fan of running, but yeah, I just put on the COVID stone, because you're sitting at home, you're eating, you're not exercising. And my lifestyle was looking back at me in the mirror. It was appearing on the surface. You know, the decisions I was making in my life, they were starting to appear on the surface, aka body fat. So I just thought it was time to, you know, get on to someone who was going to give me a kick up the hole. And obviously, if I was willing to put in the work in as well, we could eventually reach a point where I have reversed the decisions I made, the accumulations of the decisions I made over the COVID period. So I basically just signed up to do a lifestyle transformation, and there was a holiday that popped up as well. So that kind of made me stick with them even longer, because I wanted to kind of drop even further in terms of body fat. And I got to my goal, and I was so happy. And, you know, my coach is always big on, and I do totally agree with him, that when you reach one goal, try to establish another to keep you on track. And maybe that's just maintaining. Maybe you don't want to lose any more body fat. Maybe you just want to keep the body you have. But it's important to be accountable. Like, maybe you want to progress on your deadlift. Okay, well, let's maintain your weight, but let's work on that deadlift. And then it's checking in with him every week with before and after pictures. Because if I had just dumped him after I got to my, you know, the kind of goal I was thinking of, like my weight goal, I have a feeling I probably would have bounced back to old habits. So I do keep him around still for accountability, because look, even though you're a coach, you're still human, and you can tend to go easy on yourself or not be as harsh with yourself, and let things slide. And, you know, you're missing gym sessions because you only have yourself to answer to. So I think having a coach does help me with my level of discipline and accountability. But then he said to me, okay, so it's September time. September, October. What's your next goal? I said, I'd love to do a photo shoot. And he said, actually, it was December. So we had maintained for a couple of months after I achieved my goal weight. And then he said, okay, you know, January's coming up. What do you want to do? And I said, he actually suggested the photo shoot first. And I said, yeah, that's something I really like to do. But I'm actually going to Orlando in March. Now, most photo shoots are about 4 months long, like 16 weeks depending on, but my one was only going to be 10 weeks. So we knew what we had to work with. It was my first photo shoot, so it wasn't going to be like hell for leather. Like, I think going in, if I was to ever do a photo shoot again, like, I think it would be a lot more, I suppose, rigid. Whereas like Adam, my coach, I think knew, like, this is your first photo shoot, you only have 10 weeks, like, I'm not gonna, you know, absolutely mentally torture you. So it was an experience. Did I do the full-on photo shoot experience? I would say about 80% of it, even though I only did about 10 weeks. So going into it, this is a couple of things that I learned. Okay, so I knew that it was going to be very, very different to a normal diet, you know, like the flexible approach where you can balance having chocolate and stuff like that, because you are in the gym a lot more, because you're working on your body, you're taking it like a lot more serious, because you are aiming for a specific look. Okay, so when I just wanted to lose body fat the first time, we weren't really aiming for a specific look. I was like, here, look, I just want the body I had a couple of years ago back. And we got to that place. But when you're doing a photo shoot, like, you're looking to make muscles pop in this photo shoot, you're looking for a specific look. So your diet and your workout program is dictated, you know, around that look that you're trying to achieve. Now, they're stepping on stage and competing. That's a totally different beast. Okay, like, we'll talk about that later. But with a photo shoot, it's such an act of discipline. It really is. Like, it's 99% of the population cannot do this. They can't. And you're probably asking, like, why did you want to do a photo shoot? I wanted to prove to Enya 10 years ago, who sat on her arse all day, ate Neddy Rockets about 3 days a week, you know, used to go to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, used to make toasties at 2 o'clock in the morning, used to sleep till 1 o'clock in the day. Her diet was absolutely horrendous. Couldn't tell you if I even went to the gym back then. I used to work in extravision at the time. So around the end of school, start of college, my diet, my exercise routine, it was just non-existent. And when I look back now at that girl and I look at the person I am today, like, I'd laugh at you if you said to me back then, Enya, you're going to be a PT, you're going to go to the gym 5 to 6 days a week, 2 years consistently, and you're going to do a photo shoot, you're going to be just, it's going to be part of who you are. Like, you're not going to be someone who sits around in bed all day anymore. Like, you are actually going to have structure in your life. You're going to have, you know, the body you've always wanted. And I used to look at girls in the shape that I am now and think, I'd never be able to get there. Like, what are they doing? I'd love to have that mentality. I'd love to have that push, but I would just never push myself to do it. I wouldn't. It would just be like a pipe dream. So I did it to prove to myself and to prove to all those lads who would always pick me last in PE, like, I am fit. And I can, you know, blow yous out of water here. Like, so I look at people now who I went to school with who are very fit and love PE and love football, and they aren't in the best position now in life. So I had the last laugh. But that's my why. And I have to say, I did achieve that through the photo shoot. I was very, very proud of myself. And, you know, for 10 weeks, I learned that I actually have, I suppose, enhanced my level of discipline. I was disciplined before going into the photo shoot. And, you know, that's obviously how I lost a lot of body fat, because you do need discipline to lose body fat. But after doing a photo shoot, it's a different level of discipline. Like, you have to have boundaries. And I have definitely enhanced my discipline. So that going into my next fat loss phase, which was during the summer, I just found a walk in the park, because I was able to get through, a photo shoot. So if I can get through that, I can get through this. This is a walk in the park compared to the photo shoot. And, you know, in terms of just talking about boundaries there, so I'm just going to list off a couple of things that I learned, okay? So I have a sheet here. So what I would say is there is people who just won't get it. Like, when you decide you want to do a photo shoot, if it's for you, there is going to be people who just won't get it. They're just not going to understand why you're doing it. Like, for example, I had people in my life who, even after I finished my photo shoot, when I'd run into them, they were like, are you still doing your crazy diet? And it's like, you'll just never understand. Like, you'll never wrap your head around it, the fact that it's not a crazy diet. Like, this is the amount of toxic diet culture that still exists in this day and age, you know? Like, people would look at you doing a photo shoot and they think you're nuts. Like, they actually think you're mad. And, you know, I've learned now to just not even explain yourself, because that's what you're going to have to do. Every time you say, oh, I'm doing a photo shoot, people look at you like you have 10 heads. A photo shoot? For what? Is it for a magazine? Like, photo shoot, why are you going on a diet for a photo shoot? Like, they just won't understand. So in future, when they offer me a slice of cake, I don't turn around anymore and say, oh, I'm doing a photo shoot. I've learned to just say, no, thank you, I'm not hungry, because it just opens a fucking can of worms and it started to get like a pain in the arse. Like, it didn't, you know, deter me from continuing with it. But I just found some people just won't understand it. You know, I think my auntie, who's like in her late 60s, like, was fully convinced I had an eating disorder, because she saw me refuse a slice of chocolate cake or a chocolate bar or a biscuit in her house numerous times. And I just told her I wasn't hungry, because the first time I told her I was doing a photo shoot, she looked at me like I had 10 heads. She just didn't understand it. Like, she, and I still think to this day, even if I'm on any type of diet, she'll just never be able to wrap her head around it. And then you get people who think it's just like a normal diet, or, you know, even if it is a normal diet, like, why are you pushing food on me? Like, if I say no, leave me alone. Like, that's one thing I suppose got enhanced as well, is my boundaries. Like, being able to say no to people, because believe it or not, a lot of people fall down in fat loss phases because they don't have boundaries. And when their nanny or their aunt or, you know, their friends and family are pressing on them, just have the slice of pizza. Oh my God, just have a drink, because I had to cut out alcohol as well. I didn't have to, but I mean, I was fighting a losing battle if I wanted to drink every weekend and do a photo shoot. But yeah. You will get people who won't understand, like, and they just think you're mental. Like, they think you have an eating disorder. That's what it looks like. They just think you're getting very obsessed. But you do, you have to be obsessed. This is something that it's very niche. Like, it's a very niche style of diet. It really is. And it's not for the faint-hearted. Like, can anyone do it? I think definitely I would try a lifestyle transformation first before you just jump into it. Because, it, you know, in order to complete it, you do need a certain level of discipline. You do need a level of experience when it comes to dieting. And people who've never actually successfully had a diet, they are the people who won't understand what you're doing. It's almost like they envy the fact that you have willpower and discipline. And they just can't get their head around it, because they've always given up. They've never had boundaries when food has been offered to them. They've never been able to say no to a slice of cake. They always break, you know, they always break at the first hurdle. So they can't understand when they see someone who's actually honoring the commitment they made to themselves and they're honoring the promise. Like, that sometimes rubs them up the wrong way, and they think that you're abnormal for doing that. They do. They think you're abnormal. So yeah, that's one thing. You have to get used to people not understanding. But the excuse I just started using was, no thanks, I'm not hungry, instead of opening the can of worms. And following on from that is, you will get people who will support you. So that was one thing I learned. And one thing my coach actually set me up for is, I live with my boyfriend, and, you know, he's not into fitness like I am. Like, he enjoys a run every now and then, and he's been in the gym. But I would go as far as saying that he's never been as fully committed as I. Like, I'm a PT, you know, so I have to take it seriously. But, like, I had to sit him down, and, like, you know, I was starting it in the January. And at the start of December, I told him, I said, look, I'm after having a talk with my coach and I'm going to be doing a photo shoot. And he was like, oh, no way. So I had to mentally prepare him. So, like, look, it's, if you have another half, you know, they're going to have to get used to the fact that you won't be able to go out to restaurants and eat off plan. Like, that's the type of discipline I'm talking about. like going for a last minute lunch with your friend, or like I had to explain to my friends as well, like I had to sit my boyfriend down and be like, look, let's go out as much as you want this December. Let's go to restaurants. Let's go out and have a couple of drinks. Because when it comes to January, I am going to be MIA for 10 weeks and I'm not going to be able to like go to restaurants and eat out yet. I'm not going to be able to, you know, last minute takeaways, etc. Like it's just, it's not going to be on the table. And he was like, oh, okay, like I respect that. And, you know, when January came out, there was one or two times where he'd be making dinner at home and he'd be like, oh, will I put you on something? And I'd be like, no, I'm just going to make my own food. He's like, oh, there's loads here though. And I'm like, no, like I actually have to stick to what I usually eat, and you know, I know what's in it and blah, blah, blah. So yeah, like sometimes he would still, I would still have to explain to him, but he would always be very, you know, understanding. And then with my friends as well, not that I see my friends much, you know, especially at the age of 30, everyone has their own lives. But they had, like, there was 3 tortillas within the 10-week period I was doing my photo shoot. And because I had to cut out alcohol, I explained to my friends as well, I was like, look, I'm not going to miss your tortilla because I'm doing a photo shoot prep. I will go. And that's one thing I will say as well. Like, you don't have to be antisocial when you're doing a photo shoot. Like, you can go to things, you can go to social events, just understand that, like, when there's platters of food put in front of you and, you know, free drink or whatever, glasses of Prosecco, you have to have the discipline to, like, say no because you've already reached your calories that day. Or, yeah, I suppose just sit there with your pint of water or your 7-Up Free or whatever, your Diet Coke, and, yeah, just be present. There's no reason why you can't be present. But unfortunately, if you commit to a photo shoot, like, why would you be coercing yourself or committing to it? You signed up for it. And that's the price you have to pay when you're at social events, is that you can't just like dig into the platters of food or, you know, do a Jager bomb with your friend. Ashore. Like, if you consistently do that, it does all add up. And I really, really, this isn't another thing that I wanted to prove to myself. I really, really wanted to get to the finish line and know there was no stone left unturned. Like, I didn't want to get to the finish line and look in the mirror and think, maybe if I didn't have 3 plates of food at 3 of their parties, would I have looked any different? Yeah, I just didn't want that regret. So yeah, that's one thing that I had to do. I had to explain to my friends and family and my other half, look, this is what's going to be happening. I hope you understand. And you will. You'll have people who will be really supportive and they won't ask questions, you know, and they didn't. I'll have to give that to my friends. I went to all their parties and I sat there and I just drank my pint of water and I still had a bop. And one thing I learned from it is you can actually go out to social events and still have a good time. Look, part of me was like, would I have enjoyed myself anymore if I did drink? Well, you know, when I woke up the next day and I was fresh as a daisy and my other half was stuck to the bed, like I can't deny the fact that made me feel good. And I just felt my mental health was in such a good place as well after cutting out the drink for 10 weeks. Believe it or not, that was probably the longest stint I ever went without drinking. And that was another proud moment as well, because I never thought I'd be one of those people either. And I proved to myself I am. Like, you are so capable of achieving anything you put your mind to. But again, I mentioned this in a previous episode, that if you keep telling yourself, I can't do that, I'd never be able to do that, like I used to 10 years ago, then that's what you're going to believe. Like, if you put yourself in a position to prove yourself wrong, like, you can achieve it. You can. Anyone could do a photo shoot, anyone. But have you got the right mindset and the right belief and the confidence in yourself? Because if you don't, you will struggle. But yeah, so just to summarize, so there's people who won't get it, having supportive friends and family, and, you know, the whole, like, I can go to social events and my discipline is a lot better now. And also, I suppose with any fat loss phase as well, like, it's very time consuming. So if you are thinking of doing a photo shoot, like, I commend people. I really do commend people who have a full-time job, they have kids, and they still pull off a photo shoot. That just goes to show that if someone who has a really hectic lifestyle, okay, if they can pull it off and you have a part-time job, no kids, you know, you have a lot of time available, so can you. So I wouldn't even be blaming time, because if I looked at someone who can juggle a job, time with their kids, and the commitment it takes to do a photo shoot, like, you know, some people think it's the diet, like, that's the hard part. It's not. It's actually so time consuming. Like, a normal fat loss phase is time consuming in itself. But, you know, you're doing like an hour of cardio a day. All right. Now, at the start, it starts off a bit slow. And then, like, they start to, like, put the foot down. Your coach starts to put the foot down and be like, right, we really need to ramp things up here, because you're doing a 10-week photo shoot. most of my clients are on 16 weeks and we can, like, you know, have a little bit of a longer lead in, whereas you are only doing 10 weeks. So like, we kind of have to bypass that stage. So I was doing like 60 minutes of cardio a day. I was doing 10,000 steps. I think the lowest amount of calories I was on at one stage was 1,400 calories. And that's why I quit out alcohol as well. Like, I am in my shy only eating 800 calories worth of food and then spending the other 600 calories on like five bottles of Bulmers, I'd actually be like a bag of cats. Like, you do start to get irritable towards the end. Like, you start doubting yourself. It really teaches you perseverance. Like, and the amount of negotiations and debates you're having with yourself. Like, I mean, even sitting in front of a platter of food at my friend's 30th, I think actually out of three parties, I had one goujon. And I was just like, oh, just to see what it tastes like. Like, I think that was the only thing I had off plan for the whole 10 weeks. Not one drop of alcohol, and, you know, no meals out, no takeaways, etc. Just the ability to say no in the beginning, like, got so much. That word no got stronger throughout the 10 weeks. It really did. Like, I got better at saying it. But yeah, it really does teach you the art of discipline. But in terms of time, like, that was one thing that was tough. It was tough. It was, you know, having so many other things going on in my life and having to prioritize my hours, my hour cardio, my workout. Then your energy starts to dip as well towards the end of the photo shoot period, because you're on less food, you have less carbs in your system. Like, you're just really irritable. Like, and that's something that I had to prepare my other half for as well. I was like, look, I'm not going to be, you know, in great mood towards the end of this, because I'm just going to be running on low field, I'm going to be tired, I'm going to be just wanting to get this over with. And then in the last week, you are like that. Like, you're just like, I'm ready for this to be over. But you know, like, the finish line is in sight, so that's what keeps you going. And then, like, the last week was kind of an experience in itself, because what happens is, okay, you want to look as lean as possible on your photo shoot day, so your muscles are popping, you look like you have very little body fat. So how do you do that? So basically what you do is you have literally zero carbs for, I think, 4 days, I think it was, because when we eat carbs, we store a lot of water. Okay, so what happens when we don't eat carbs? Like, we start losing water. So what happens, we have that dry look, we look kind of drained, which makes our muscles look more prominent. Okay, so what we do first is we drain our body of water. Okay, so we're going to the toilet a lot. You have to take these supplements to make it go to the toilet. You're drinking very little water, like, I think like 250 mils a day for like 4 days. I can't remember exactly how many days, etc. So if there is someone listening who's done a photo shoot, like, forgive me, but this all happened within like a week period. Okay, so you drain yourself, okay, and then what happens is you're basically having a high fat diet. So like, it's similar to the keto diet. So I was having a lot of almond butter, I was having, what else was I having, I think olive oil might have been thrown in there, I'm not too sure. I'm trying to remember now, was olive oil something, but yeah, you're having a really, really high fat content to nearly replace the carbs that you're not eating. Because remember, there's calories in carbs, there's calories in fat, there's 4 calories in 1 gram of carbs, and there's 9 calories in 1 gram of fat. So yeah, a lot of peanut butter, a lot of dark chocolate, berries, like 0% fat Greek yogurt for protein, and stuff like chicken fillets for protein, veg, etc. like that. Like, literally, I suppose it was nearly like zero carbs for like a couple of days. And then what happens is, when you are completely drained, okay, like, you're not storing any more water, so your muscles look very flat. Okay, so remember I was saying you want your muscles to look more prominent. So now we've drained ourselves, all right, and it's the day before the shoot now. We look really, really dry. We look really, really flat. Why are we flat? Because we've no carbs in our system, and our muscles basically suck those carbs in, convert them to glycogen. Glycogen's water, all right? Well, it's similar to water. And it fills out the muscles, all right? So that's why we're looking really, really flat, because our muscles don't have any water in them. We've no carbs in our system, okay? So now that I'm in a surplus, you want to see how full my muscles look when I look in the mirror. Like, I actually can't get over it, because I was only in a deficit there about a month ago. And I kind of looked a bit flat because I was on such low carb. Well, I thought I was low carb. A lot of people probably wouldn't. But yeah, and now that I'm in a surplus and I'm having so much more carbs, my muscles look so much fuller. All right. But anyway, back to me not having any carbs, completely drained of water, look more leaner, but my muscles look really flat. So what do we do the day before we go to the photo shoot? We carb load now. Okay. So we basically take in like X amount of carbs. I forget how much it actually was. I think it could have been between like 300 to 400 grams, which is a lot. All right. So that's basically, if there's 4 calories in 1 gram of carbohydrate, and you are given like 300 grams of carbs, that's like 1200 calories worth of carbohydrates, right? I can't exactly remember what I ate. I know a bowl of oats was one of them, and I was in heaven. I really was, like, because I eat protein oats every morning, so to be deprived of them for 4 days was a lot. So basically then the next day, this was 2 days actually before my shoot, sorry, the next day I was sending daily photographs to my coach now, so he would have a look at me and be like, yeah, still look a bit flat or whatever, like, this was the purpose of that. So he'd look at me and he'd be like, okay, yeah, you're looking really, really full. Okay, so what we're going to do now is we're going to maintain that. So again, we basically aren't draining ourselves anymore because we have the look that we want, so it's just maintaining that for the next 24 hours. And I think we went back to a high fat diet then the day before. So again, we were just maintaining the look. We weren't putting any more carbs in because sometimes you can like overdo it and then you can just look really puffy and swollen. So yeah, we didn't overdo it. We went back to the high fat diet, low carb the day before. And yeah, I just had to maintain that. So that was really weird because I was eating foods and, like, you know, I was having a combination of foods that I would normally eat. Like, I was having, you know, like 2 chicken fillets with broccoli and then like 2 squares of dark chocolate. Like, it was such a random combination, but they were helping me hit my macros for that specific diet. So my coach gave me a meal plan for that week, so he knew exactly what was going in and out. Whereas opposed to if I was just kind of eating what I wanted, he wouldn't know, and it probably wouldn't help us achieve the look that we wanted. So I got my spray tan then, because when you have a spray tan, you're going to look more contoured, etc. And then on the day of my shoot, I went up with my friend, so he did my makeup and stuff. And then it was like literally at the tip of Ireland. It was like literally the tip of Ireland. That's the only way I can explain it. It was a long drive. I think it was Belfast. Yeah. And then what did we do? So we were up there for the good to 3 hours. It was Stephen Black. He was the photographer. He's absolutely lovely. He's so professional at what he does. He has his own studio. It's like a makeshift gym. And he's so good at, you know, like getting you to stand this way, pop the muscle that way, turn your foot this way. Like, he knows how to get the best out of you, and he's so professional. And it was just really, really good crack. And, you know, like, leaving it, I was just so happy. I was so happy I made it to that point. Like, I didn't cave at any stage, which was a worry of mine, like, you know, for the whole 10 weeks that I was going to cave. And that's why a lot of people like planted a seed in my head thinking, oh, you won't be able to do that. Or, you know, that's really, really tough. I wouldn't recommend it. It's not for the faint hearted. But I proved them wrong. I really did. I remember someone saying you wouldn't be able to hack it. And to be honest, that person was part of my why as well. And when I was, you know, taking the pictures of myself, well, I wasn't taking the pictures, Stephen was taking the pictures. I was able to see myself in the mirror and stuff in the studio, and I was just taken aback. I was, look at your hard work, like, look where you've come. And it was down to you and nobody else, and look who you proved wrong. And you know, look, Enya 10 years ago would be blown away by the, you know, the level of discipline and consistency that this had taken, because I was one of those people that I just give up halfway through like a race or whatever, you know, on sports day. I don't care if I have to give up. This is just, I just don't like exercise. Like, the fact that I, you know, achieved, I think of all the days that I was doing cardio in this 10-week period, I think I missed one cardio session. So I didn't want to leave any stone left unturned. I really didn't. And I fulfilled that promise to myself. I came through with it. So yeah. And you know what? I said this in another podcast as well. Like, if you constantly are breaking promises to yourself, like, you're never going to build the self-confidence to keep any promise down the line. But when you actually commit to something and you see it through, you build self-confidence. So then comes the question, would I do one again? Yeah, I would do one again. I know what to expect now. If there's not much I would change, to be honest, looking back now, obviously I will have a longer run in this time, but there's nothing I would actually change. I was very, very proud of how far I came. And, you know, it's not like I did go off track, or I did a lot of things I shouldn't have done and I kept it from my coach, because again, that's something I kind of, it would have been a bitter pill to swallow on the finish day, or at the finish line, I should say. I just wouldn't have felt as proud. It would be like running a marathon and like using performance enhanced drugs, like, you know, you're cheating in a way. So it there's not really anything I would change, other than I would have loved to have a longer run in, because I wonder would I have looked any different. But this time, or next time I do it, I will have a longer run in and I'll know what to expect. And yeah, I will just be that bit more experienced and come back with an even better look, because I'm in an off season now, which means that I'm in a surplus. I'm eating more food, and it means that I'm lifting heavier in the gym, which is going to help grow muscle. I'm on a higher protein. So yeah, like I'm really going to benefit from this off season, because this is where you build muscle. You don't build muscle in a deficit. So when I actually go back into a deficit, if I do a photo shoot come January time, like, and you know, 4 to 16 weeks after that will be in April, I will have had 4 months in a deficit, and you know, I'm going to look even more prominent in terms of muscle growth, because I'm building it now, and you know, probably more muscle tissue has been added to my frame since last year. So yeah, it would be nice to see. It'd be nice to see the difference between the last photo shoot, and be interesting to see the last photo shoot to this photo shoot. So yeah, I would definitely do one again. I don't know about stage though, like stepping on stage and competing. Like I just don't think that would be for me, to be honest. Like that's a whole different beast. Yeah, so I probably wouldn't be interested in that for the time being. But yeah, I think that every goal you finish should be followed with another goal. It doesn't always have to be fat loss. It can be maintaining, it can be growing muscle. But yeah, if people are wondering like, oh, how does she or he stay in great shape? How do they always look like, you know, they go to the gym consistently? Like they do go to the gym consistently, but don't forget, they don't spend the whole year dieting, all right? They spend, you know, seasons where they're not dieting, and they're building muscle and they're eating more food. And then when they go into a deficit, then their muscles are more prominent because they've spent time in the off season. So that's what I'm doing now. And I really, really am enjoying it. And I can really see my muscles filling out, like I said as well. Like I've bigger quads, I've bigger shoulders, etc. Like I can't wait to see, like in 5-6 months time when I go into my next deficit or I finish my next deficit, to see the definition. Like that's what toning is. Spending time in the off season, then doing a deficit, and then seeing, you know, what you achieved, what muscle tissue was added onto your frame during that off season. It's building, stripping back, building, stripping back. So yeah, that's my experience doing a photo shoot. So to summarize, there will be people who won't understand why you're doing it. You will have supportive friends and you'll appreciate them because of that. You'll have people who will understand and they won't ask questions. You are capable of anything that you put your mind to, and you're going to do something that 99% of people can't do. Imagine being able to achieve that. It is time consuming. That's one thing I will prepare you for. You have to have a lot of time available. But then again, there's people who have full-time jobs and have kids and are still able to pull it off. So if they can, so can you. If you are using time as an excuse, have a why. Why do you want to do it? Do you want to do it just for a sexy photograph or just a sexy photo shoot? Do you want to put yourself through that just to, you know, flog your pictures online and stuff? Or do you have a deeper meaning? Like, make sure it's a good reason, because that's what you're going to have to remember when you're in the pits of this prep. Like, you know, when you're having days you just want to throw the towel in, make sure you have a good why to keep you going. And you can go to social events, okay, but remember, alcohol should be limited, if not you know, don't drink at all. And then discipline will be enhanced. You will just, your level of discipline will go through the roof after doing a photo shoot prep. It really will, because if you can get through that, you can get through fucking anything. Like the mental resilience you will build after doing a photo shoot, if you come through it without any setbacks. And then you'll learn from your setbacks too if you go into another one. But yeah, this has been a really, really long podcast, probably one of my longest. Now look, not everyone's experience is going to be the same as mine, but this was my experience and I hope it's helped you either make the decision of doing a photo shoot, or maybe you were just curious as to how a photo shoot was run, a photo shoot prep, I should say. But thanks for tuning in, and I hope you listen to the next one.